Part of God's word is in the gospel. Matthew 13. You probably have heard this parable before. But instead of focusing on the people that Jesus is referring to, those who hear the gospel, but for various reasons, it doesn't stick. Let our attention, let our focus be on the sower and the seed, because that's the one constant thing through this parable. It doesn't change. Like the soil changes, the sower does not change. That day Jesus went out of the house and sat down beside the lake. You know, remember, and it says Jesus' hometown was in Nazareth, but he also had a home in Capernaum. And if you can visualize it in your mind, Capernaum was only a few hundred yards from the Sea of Galilee. So it was an easy walking distance. It's kind of like having a cabin up north. Or perhaps it's like having a condo somewhere down in Florida. And you can walk out and be on the shore of the lake or the ocean quickly. Large crowds gathered around him that he climbed into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd was standing on the shore. Another remarkable thing about this story is that Jesus was not locked into any one place at one time to share God's news with the people. In this particular case, it was on a boat. The whole crowd was standing on the shore, and he said many things to them in parables. A farmer went out to scatter seed. Okay. As he was scattering seed, some fell on a path. The birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted, but because the soil wasn't deep, it didn't last. When the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among thorny plants. Thorny plants grew and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and bore fruit. In one case, a yield of 100, to another, a yield of 60, and to another, 30-1. Everyone who has ears should pay attention. Consider then the parable of the farmer. Well, guess who the farmer is? Farmer is Jesus. Whenever people hear the word about the kingdom and don't understand it, the evil one comes and carries off what was planted in their hearts. And this is the seed that was sown on the path. I'm going to suggest to you that there are other reasons why that seed doesn't take root in our life. As for the seed that was spread on rocky ground, this refers to people who hear the word, immediately receive it joyfully. Because they have no roots, they last for only a little while. And when they experience distress or abuse because of the word, they immediately fall away. As for the seed that was spread among thorny plants, this refers to those who hear the word, but the worries of this life and false appeal of wealth choke the word, and it bears no fruit. As for what was planted on good soil, this refers to those who hear and understand and bear fruit and produce. In one case, a yield of 100-1, another 60-1, and another 30:1. Here ends the reading of the gospel. A number of years ago, Carol and I directed a junior high camp up at Northern Pines Camp. We kind of got roped into it. But that's another story. And we did it for 10 years. And one of the years, this was back in the days that we were down in Montevideo, Minnesota. And we got back from a week of junior high camp. And the administrative assistant at that church, her name was Sharon, and she and I were having a conversation. And she says, "What is there about camp that makes it so important?" And that was the first time that somebody had asked me that question. And the thing that popped into my mind simply was, I think what happens at camp that so often doesn't happen in a church is that the whole week is devoted to Christian growth. From early in the morning, there's chapel services. Following chapel services, we break down into small groups, and we talk about the theme of the day. And then after lunch and after rest time, we share our video clip that goes along with the theme. And we break down into small groups again. And we interact with what they saw in the video. And then again after supper, we have prayer groups. So the prayer groups meet and they talk about the theme of the day. And the day wraps up around a campfire, singing songs. Some of them we've sung throughout the day. But then the director of that camp, and you're looking at him, sums up the day. And so from the time they get up in the morning until just before they go to bed at night, they have a chance, they have the opportunity to hear the good news, the stories of faith. And so it has a chance to sink in. And by the end of the week, hopefully, they leave camp with a better, not only a better understanding, but more insight into what faith is all about. And perhaps they've taken another step in their faith journey. And so that's some of the reasons why campers keep on coming back to camp, because it's a special place for them. And I still remember a conversation with one of the campers we had, and now this camper is middle-aged, believe it or not, middle-aged. And he says, "I don't know why, but I keep on wanting to come back. I spend 1 week out of my year." In this particular camp, camper had been coming to camp at least 6 years. So that's 6 weeks. He says, "I've learned more from camp than I have any other place." I think this is a little bit of what Jesus was getting at with the story of the sower and the seed. You know, sometimes the path in life gets well traveled. Sometimes it gets beaten down. It starts out being good soil, but sometimes life experiences, sometimes it's the busyness of life. And so often we treat being busy as a virtue. Let me suggest to you, it's anything but a virtue when it comes to our faith. It becomes an impediment. It becomes something that we need to deal with because it actually interferes. Because our life sometimes becomes that well-worn path that initially started out to be good soil, but ends up being a very hard path. And sometimes life is full of hard knocks. It's those experiences that sometimes we need a lot of help to deal with and to overcome. And that's one of the roles of the body of Christ, is to support each other. And I get a sense in this congregation that there is that kind of support. You don't find that in every congregation. District superintendent at that time, Charles Purdom, came to me and says, "Bob, could you help us out? We've got this church, small church, to interview. They don't like. Would you please help us out?" And I said, "Sure." So I went and met with their staff parish relationship. And their previous pastor had been there for 20 years. And prior to this, I made a vow to myself. I would never serve a church where I would follow somebody who had been there for 20 years. Well, guess what happened? But the situation was different. I was in the chaplaincy full time. And that changes the dynamic. And I was there, I was meant to be there for 1 year. It ended up being 3 years. And the church kept on growing. Every week we would have new visitors. Every week. And the only thing that I could attribute that to was the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was present. And the Holy Spirit is present here, and it manifests itself in different ways. The Apostle Paul shares with us that the same Spirit that was in Jesus, that same Spirit, God's Spirit, that raised him to new life, that raised him in the resurrection, is the same Spirit that is in us. Think about that. The same Spirit. And so we need to be aware of that and intentional, because that is such a beautiful gift that God has given us, that we need to care for it, we need to nourish it. And for those of us who have lived probably more than half of our life here on earth, okay? I'm assuming that includes me. You ever think that, would it be possible for me to live to be 100? I still remember back when I was the pastor here, We had a couple that lived out in one of the smaller lakes. They eventually moved to St. Cloud. And they lived in an apartment complex. And the reason I'm sharing this story with you, she not only lived to be 100, she not only lived to be 103, she lived to be 108, and she still was living independently. I think the more we live, the more we begin to realize there's more to life than meets the eye. There's more to life than we think. There's more to life than accumulating possessions, than filling our life with stuff. We realize that all this stuff, someday, it's not going to go with us. When I was in the chaplaincy full-time, I met with a group of people from St. Peter's Catholic Church in Forest Lake. And I would meet with them on a weekly basis. And they came over and they visited patients. And at the end of their time, we would gather in a conference room. We sat around this table. And we would talk about their visits, kind of debrief, in terms of what that experience was like. And was it making any difference in terms of their own faith journey? And all these people that were visiting, by and large, were older people. They began to realize that so much of their life was spent accumulating. And now all that stuff really is not helping them. What helps them are relationships. Some of them, a relationship with the staff is becoming their family. Relationships with other patients was becoming part of their family. And so I shared a story with them with this in mind. From time to time, I would go out to the landfill that was outside of Forest Lake. I still do that in Park Rapids, because it's kind of a sobering awakening. They see all the stuff that people have thrown away, that they've spent their life working on. And where does it end up? Jesus is reminding us there's something far more important that if we pay attention to, if we wake up to, and realize the importance in our life, is that Spirit of Christ that is within us. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to remind us. That reminds me of another story, but for another time. But to remind us of what truly is important. And so in a sense, we fit into each of these four different categories. But I want you to know that we're all good soil. But sometimes that soil becomes well-traveled and it becomes hard. Sometimes that other soil becomes a little rocky and there isn't much dirt underneath it. So it doesn't have a chance for God's word to plant in our life. And sometimes all this happens without us even knowing. And then there's that other soil, you know, that thorny stuff. We can become preoccupied with stuff that takes over our life. And then there's the good soil. But Jesus plants the seed in all the different kinds of soil. He knows that some will take root. And so whatever opportunity we have, and this morning, we come to receive Holy Communion. Along with God's Word, I can't think of anything better or more important to keep us centered and to keep us focused and to keep us connected to the Spirit of Christ and allow that Spirit to continue to grow. I can't think of anything else that nourishes our spirit quite like the Lord's table and Holy Communion. We come up because Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood." And he gifted us with it so that we can increase God's Spirit in our life. And with that Spirit, it changes our outlook. It changes how we approach different situations. It changes our attitude towards people. It changes everything. If we become a partner with God and with Christ and being that good soil and working on those areas in our life that the Holy Spirit will help us to work on, and the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to where we need to change and where we need to grow, if we're so open. Holy Communion can provide that opportunity to strengthen our connection with Jesus and the Spirit of God.